You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wells Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I want to talk to you about, you know, Pastor taught on it too, wait a little bit, about thoughts and stuff, but I'm not talking on thoughts, but just getting the Word in you. We're living in a time where our country is like falling apart, it seems like, and things are going crazy, and gas prices and all this stuff. Now's not the time to shrink from the Word, you know, put the Word aside. Now's the time to embrace the Word. It's time to get in the Word. It's time to dwell in the Word. Let the Word dwell in you richly, the Bible says. Be rooted and grounded in this Word. And so I just want to share some things with you that got on my heart. So if you would, turn your Bibles to 2 Peter 3:18, please. 2 Peter 3:18. Hallelujah. God is good. Has God been good to you?
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, He is. I just get to thinking about every day what God's done for me and what He continues to do in my family, and you know, just what God's done in my sister Christina. Just amazing. It's just amazing to sit back. But you know what? I mean, and it's not about bragging on yourself or anything, because I can't do anything in my own strength. I can't do anything. You know, everything we have is from God. Y'all know that, right? You can't do anything and brag. You can't boast in yourself. Let no man boast in himself. But if it wasn't for me and Melissa living for God, then she would never live for God. And it's amazing how God uses people, right, to be a witness and be a light and shine. And it causes people, growth in people, because they see Jesus in you. Isn't that right? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's awesome. It's awesome to be used by God. And I just sit back and just watch her and just grow and grow. And we have some issues. We had some. But just don't quit. Stay in there. Keep praying. Keep believing God. And I'm just blown away. I just sit back and go, wow, God, you're so cool. You're really awesome. And so that's part of the Word being in you, right? It's allowing that Word to grow in you. But 2 Peter 3:18 says this. I love this verse. 2 Peter 3:18 says, he's talking about, that's verse 17, "But you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." He goes talking about, you know, different doctrines and understanding things, the epistles. Actually, verse 16, he says, as also in his epistles, talking about Paul. But anyway, verse 17, he says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this before, and beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." Verse 18, "But grow in the grace." Grow in the grace. Say, grow in the grace.
Grow in the grace.
And knowledge. Knowledge. We got to grow in knowledge. Knowledge is powerful. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our who? Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to know what the Word says. Right? We need to be diligent, to the Bible says, to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We have got to get the Word in us that's going to change our families, change our marriages. I'm a man, I love wisdom. I love hearing the Word of God that's going to challenge me and bring wisdom to my life, to my family. I'm a man who I like to learn from people's mistakes. Somebody makes a mistake, you know, you can't. I've heard a saying about mistakes. You know, learn from other people's mistakes because you can't make them all yourself. You gotta learn from other people's mistakes, because, I really do. I hunger after the wisdom and the knowledge of God, and I'm talking about practical wisdom that we live everyday life. You know, like driving, and I hear something about, and I just want to challenge you to really seek after wisdom and knowing. Because it'll cause us to live longer on the earth. Isn't that right? What, you know, the Bible says, listen to this. I want you to see this. I think oftentimes we think it means something else. But it says, Ephesians 6:1-3 says, of course, Mackenzie knows this verse, right? What is it? What's Ephesians 6:1-3? Children. All right, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you live long on the earth. I think we think that if I just take out the trash, if I just make my bed up, God's going to promise me long life. Well, I don't think it works that way. What's going to cause you to live long on the earth is you embracing your parents' wisdom. Embracing the knowledge and soaking up and being teachable,
yes,
towards your parents. If they tell you, you know, about, I always, you know, and I teach my children, my sister, I teach them. I take time to teach them. I'm just flowing here. I take time to teach them. We're driving down the road or something, and even Christina, and I'll tell her something about driving. Now, hey, let me just show you something. And she's listening. She listens. She pays attention. She's hungry for it. I'm able to give it to her. So I'll tell her, now, you see that car right there and this and that? And I'm explaining to her, why? Why am I doing that? Well, I want her to live long on the earth. I don't want her to get in a car wreck because she didn't know about something. See, the Bible says, actually, Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's the lack of knowledge that's killing the church, the body of Christ, people. It's the lack of the knowledge of God. So we need to become hungry for knowledge, hungry for the knowledge of the Word of God, so that we can grow in this, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge. So knowledge and grace, it causes growth. So we need to grow. Amen? We need to grow up. Psalms 107 says this, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. You know, we really need to be hungry people, hungry for the things of God. I love coming to church. I love getting in the Word of God. I've got, like Pastor said, you know, whenever he was in his house or wherever he was, room, and he had, you know, these post-it notes or whatever, cards, note cards around. Well, I didn't do that, but I have note cards. I have books. It's like a book, you know, a little folder thing. They make it now where you just flip into Scripture. I'm riding down the road. I know you don't be doing this. You're not supposed to be reading while you're driving around the road. But that's my time, and I'm very, you know, I've got to use wisdom. I've got to be wise about what I'm doing. And so I'm flipping. I'm just reading Scriptures and just quoting Scriptures. And I just read it over and over. And I'll pick it up the next day, same little booklet, just flip it and quote it and say it and read it and just declare it and confess it. And see, that's growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to grow. We need to get the Word in us where whenever circumstance comes against us, whenever trials comes against us, whenever the enemy throws the darts, you know, we can defeat him with what? The Word. Yes. Isn't that what Matthew 4:4 says? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Word. It's the Word that God says. I don't live. We need to feed, as we feed our stomachs. We had some, I didn't, but we had, y'all had some food in here. You need to feed your spirit. And that's what we're, that's why you come to church, to feed your spirit, to find out what God says, to get some direction, some wisdom, and run with it so that you can live long on the earth and be satisfied. So God fills the hungry, the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. It's the goodness of God. And what trips me out about a lot of people, and you know, I'm not being negative or anything like that. It's just, I wish they'd get it, because years ago I got it. You know, we're going to talk about this in a minute. The gospel has two sides, and we're going to talk about that. And I don't think a lot of people understand this. And we'll talk about that. But when I got saved, my whole life just changed in a moment. I had a moment with God. That was another message that I've been kicking around. Just, if you ever have a moment with God, you know, the woman with the issue of blood, she had a moment with God. The woman at the well had a moment with God. It changed them. It changed them. You know, the Mary Magdalene had a moment with God. The woman that was caught in adultery had a moment with God. Changed her life. Wow. And the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. What causes me, it amazes me how, like, I can't do this. I can't come into church, I don't care how tired I am, and not praise him. I just can't do it. I just understand God has changed my life so much and helped me. And I look at my family and look what I've got and look what he's given me. And I just cannot just do this. I can't do that. It rubs me raw. It's like, Tommy, show some respect. This is the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross, who gave his all for you. And you can't take 30 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever it is to worship him, to praise him, to lift him up. That's what gets me. It gets me about some people. And I have to be careful to just, because we need to see the goodness of God. There's another message. There's something that God's stirring me, a little nugget of thing. It's this. Where's the awe of God? Where is the awe of God? Where did it go? Where we just stand and I'm in awe of you, Lord, of how good you are. I mean, has God been good to you? Well, then worship Him. Praise Him with your life, with your words, with your actions. Worship Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You've got to literally pick up. I think sometimes we think God's going to move on us and just, sometimes that happens. It causes and draws us closer. But the Bible says draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. You've got to do the stepping and the running to God and the seeking. You know, the Bible talks about in Proverbs, about seek after wisdom. These are action words. These are words that deal with you moving towards God. In Scripture, you never see people, God, you never see Jesus moving towards people. It's usually always people moving towards Jesus and they get their healing. And it was always the people moving to Jesus and taking that step. Those are the people that got delivered and set free and changed. It was people. Now, Jesus was there, but just like blind Bartimaeus. I love that story. I usually, when I really get into it, I just bawl. Because it's just amazing how this man who's blind just said, I don't want to be blind no more. And Jesus walked right past him, though. So it is God's will for everyone to be healed and be set free, but you have got to seek and desire and run after Him. And when you do that, and when we do that on a daily basis, when we seek after Him, that's when the change begins. Because God sees that we're passionate about Him. God don't want robots. He doesn't want somebody, you worship me. No, He's seeking such to worship Him. The ball is in our court. It's what we're going to do with it. And really, years ago, God just really kind of dealt with me on this. Is like, how much of me do you want? Because you can have all you want, but how much do you want? How much do you want to go after it? How much do you want to pay the price to seek it? It's in your court. How much of God you want? You want to be where you're at. That's fine. Do you want more? You can, but you got to seek Him. You got to go after Him. I got to move forward. All right. Psalm 34:8 says. Well, I already did that. Ezekiel. We've got to eat the Word of God. I think that's really interesting. I don't know if you want to title anything. This message is it in you? Kind of like the Gatorade thing. Is it in you? Is the Word in you? You know, I was telling you when circumstances squeeze you and things come. We're like sponges, really. We are like sponges. And when you're squeezed, really, circumstances don't make you. They reveal you. You know what I mean by that? Circumstances don't make you. They reveal who you are based on how you respond in that situation. So you either need some work or, I conquered that thing. I did it. Praise God in Jesus' name. I did it. So when circumstances come, it just reveals you. It just reveals where you what if you need work or if you mastered the thing. So I want to share with you real quick. Oh, actually, I was going to tell you about Ezekiel, but I'm not going to go there. It's just basically in Ezekiel. I was talking about how it talks about how God told Ezekiel to eat the scroll, and he said that. And I opened my mouth, and He made me eat it. Whew. The Word. You got to eat the Word. It's got to get in you and down. You know, that's what Mark 4 really is all about. Mark 4 is really about a man or about a person aground who hears the Word. The Word comes on. They're hearing it. It gets in them. It goes down into their heart and it comes up and brings forth some 30, 60, and 100 fold. That is really what the good ground is all about. It's about hearing the Word of God, not being a hearer only, but being a doer of the Word. Not hears only, and allowing that Word to hear it, to get down in you, and begin to come up out of you. Out of you meaning what? Speaking it.
Yes.
Until you really speak it, you really don't get it.
Right.
You got to speak it.
Yes.
You got to declare it. Isn't that what Jesus did? God, He said, let there be light, and light was. It'll never be until you say. You got to say it. That's how we know you're getting it, because you're beginning to confess it. You confess unto that thing, whatever it is. If you may not believe it, and like Pastor said, you got to fake it till you make it. You got to just say it, begin to declare, I am healed in Jesus' name. By His stripes I am healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says that. He sent His Word, delivered me, and healed me all destructions. Just begin to quote the Word, say the Word. Eventually, faith is going to come. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. You're going to say it by faith, and it's going to change things. It's going to change the situation. Praise God. All right. Real quick, I want to tell you I told you about the gospel has two sides. And I'm going to read this. I learned this, and studied this and everything. And I love it. It's good, good, good. Good stuff. Ready? You can write this down because this is really good stuff. You're going to want to write this down. The person of Jesus, I want you to see this. The person of Jesus creates your peace. Okay? The principles of Jesus create your prosperity. I don't know, when I first got saved, it just brought peace in my life. It just brought peace. But I wasn't flowing financially and I didn't have necessarily healing then, because that's prosperity. That's something that the Word of God, you have to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Jesus Christ. You have to grow in that. But watch this. You'll get what I'm saying. There's a difference between the life of God in you, listen, and the law of God. There's a difference between the life of God in you and the law of God. There's a difference between an experience with God and the expertise of God. This is good. Check this out. I love this stuff. You can experience Jesus in a moment, but His knowledge is progressively. Isn't that right? Isaiah 28 says, whom will I teach knowledge? It comes line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It's just constantly confessing the Word, constantly growing in the Word, constantly saying the Word. So you can have a moment moment with God. I had a moment with God. Y'all had moments with God when you got saved and you clicked, you know, man, well, I'm saved. Okay? You had a moment, an experience with God. But His knowledge of who He is and everything, that's progressive. That takes time to grow in that. Okay? There's a difference between a relationship with Jesus and understanding His laws. Most Christians, guys, really, honestly, have embraced the person of Jesus, but they have not studied His principles. Just because someone's a Christian, listen, just because someone's a Christian doesn't make them smart. I've seen a lot of Christians that are not so smart. I've seen a lot of... time doesn't produce wisdom either. Because if time produced wisdom, then every old person would be saved. So time doesn't produce wisdom. It's the knowledge of the Word of God that produces wisdom and what you do with it. You can have a clean heart, empty head. You can be right, not bright. All right, you can have a clean heart. You're holy. I'm sanctified. But I don't know anything about finances. I don't know anything about healing. I don't know anything about love. I don't know anything about marriage. I'm just clean. I'm holy. I'm sanctified. Okay, but you're gonna see in a minute what I'm talking about. Let me share something. Do you remember in Luke 23 when Jesus was on the cross? He was sandwiched between two criminals. Well, let me show you this. You can experience Jesus in a moment, right? But His laws and His principles, that comes progressively. Jesus on that cross, one of the guys mocked Jesus. And he said, if you are the Messiah, if you're Him, then come down from that cross. Amen. Mocked Him. The other one on the other side rebuked that man for saying that and said, man, do you have no respect for God? No fear for God? Do you see that you have the same sentencing as He is? We are deserving a just reward for what we're getting. This man done no wrong. He looked to Jesus and he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Listen to what Jesus said. Truly, I say to you this day, you will be with me in paradise. Wow. In a moment, that man was prepared for heaven. But listen, had that man been spared his life for some reason, he would have needed the wisdom and the principles of God to guide his life, to protect his experience with God. That's why you come to church, to protect your experience with God. That's why you do not yoke your fellowship with unbelievers. Because you want to protect your experience with God. That's why you don't watch certain movies. That's why you don't listen to certain music. That's why you read the Word of God. That's why you pray. You're protecting your experience with God and growing in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So remember, like I said, it's a lot of people have a moment with God. They've had an experience with God, but yet they never grow because they've never grown in the grace. They've never gotten the Word. They've never, Romans 12:2, renewed their mind. You know, the Bible says you need to prove the Word of God. I like that because God, have you ever heard somebody tell you something and you don't believe and you go, prove it. I'm spitting. So prove it. Right? Amen. Prove it to me. Well, God reversed that. He said, you prove it. That's what He said. He said, what did He say? Romans 12:2? I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, your spiritual worship. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you... Don't miss it. That you may prove. You got to prove the Word of God to be true. You got to prove it. I remember years ago when I first got saved, man. It's right here. Y'all know we're like going to Quinlan? Right? It's this little building on the right. It's a little spirit-filled church right there. I don't know. I went with Melissa's father-in-law when I just got saved like a week or two or something. And went to that church and, you know, and didn't know anything about anything. Just glad to be there, you know. And so there was supposed to be some kind of prophetic guy or something. I didn't even understand that. I didn't know who he was or whatever. I just thought, yeah, I'm going with my father-in-law. And he didn't have anything or didn't whatever. I don't understand it all at the time. And so the pastor gets up and he's like, okay, well, he takes charge, you know. And he calls me out, looks at me, and he says, you, come here. And I'm walking up and he's like, whoo! I mean, he's doing that. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? You do something? I don't know. What's wrong? I didn't understand. I didn't know anything about God or nothing. And so he's like, wow, he said, there's such an anointing on you. He said, listen to me. There's two things that God wants to tell you. And it was like confirmation. And he said, number one, you need to get teaching. You need to get knowledgeable of the Word of God, right? Renew your mind. That's biblical. That made sense. That lined up. That bore witness with me. And then the second thing he said is you need to lay hands on people. Just start laying hands on people. And I was like, okay, cool. So I started doing that. What I'm getting at is I started to prove the Word of God, what He had told me to do. And so I started laying hands on people. But, you know, I remember it started progressively. Remember His knowledge, you can have I had an experience with Jesus for a moment. I'm going to finish this, but let me read some more of this stuff. Watch this. Jesus, the person, listen, prepares you for the next world, for heaven. Didn't Jesus prepare you for heaven? He came to seek and save that which was lost. And you used to receive His salvation. He prepared you for heaven. Now watch. The principles of Jesus prepare you for this world. You're in this world, but you're not of it. You need the Word of God. You need the principles and the laws of God to prepare you and to walk in victory so that you can be successful. And that's why we need to meditate on the Word day and night. Meditate on the Word day and night that we may be successful, that we may have good success. You know, John 10:10 says this, talks about, I love it. I love this little analogy he gives about wisdom. He says in John 10:10, he says, if the axe is dull, now he's giving you a picture here. If the axe is dull, one must use more strength. Isn't that right? If you're chopping wood and your axe is dull, you're going to have a hard time. I remember, let me finish that scripture. He says, if the axe is dull, one must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. Wisdom brings success. I remember, you know, I used to chop wood. My brother would have this round wood thing, you know, the big base, I guess, you would chop the wood on so you wouldn't have to go all the way down. So he kind of lifted it up. And he'd cut them in pieces about that long right there. And we'd stand them up, or, you know, and they're about that round, you know. And so he'd give me this axe. And I'd chop wood on a Saturday and all day, man, just chopping wood. And I'd get there. And my brother would, you know, like the Marines, they say one shot, one kill. Well, my brother would say one chop, one split. And so just you come up. He wanted me to do it. And he teaches me too. He's very adamant about it. Just, you know, one split. Don't use a lot of energy because you're going to sit there and you're going to, you know, if you just come down, you don't come down hard and come down solid, you know, you're going to end up having to do it three times. Just do it one split. Bam! And it splits open. Okay, well, if the axe was dull, though, it would take me three times, four times, five times to get that thing split. I would use more energy. And that's what a lot of people and Christians in life, they have no word in them, so they're living on their own strength and they're using their own. They're chopping the wood, man. I'm doing what I can and it's just so hard. And listen, stop. Take the time to sharpen your axe. How do you do that? Get in the Word. Take time to get in the Word. And that's what you're doing. When you spend time with God and you get in His Word, you're sharpening your axe for battle, for that chopping that wood. And in that way, the Bible says that the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. You've got to have a sharp sword, man, to defeat the enemy. The enemy is under our feet. That's where he needs to be and stay. All right. Praise God. I was going somewhere. I still am. Amen. Okay? All right. Oh, yeah, I was telling you about a rabbit trail, didn't I? Yeah. I did. Oh, yeah. I started laying hands. Thanks. It's good to have a wife, huh? I'd have poison ivy and stuff, you know, and I thought, wow, son, flakes and stuff. I had poison ivy and I thought, that's a good place to start right there. Listen to me. I think a lot of times we're praying tanker prayers with little bass boat faith. You know, you just start small. You know, the Bible says, don't despise small beginnings, right? Start small. Start where you can. Poison ivy wasn't going to kill me. Poison ivy probably would have went away eventually. But I thought, well, Lord, I'll just start right here. This is a good place to start. You told me to lay hands on this. You told me to lay hands on people. Well, I just lay hands on myself first. And I just started exercising a little faith that I had. I could believe God for healing that poison ivy. And so I just spoke to it. And I kid you not. I mean, this is where God started seeing the miracles of God start to take place. That poison ivy was cleared up just within the hour. Done. Cleared up. And then I started getting a little bit confidence. And the Bible says, right, the righteous are bold as a lion. How do you get bold? You start getting some victories in your life. You start realizing, hey, this is cool. Poison ivy's gone. What else can I see gone? And I started, you know, going to a little bit of bigger things that I thought was bigger in my head, but it's all the same to God, right? So I started, you know, started praying for fevers and every opportunity somebody had said they had a fever, I'd pray for it and I rebuked that fever and it would go. And I'm like, ooh, praise God, this is good. And then, you know, it got bigger, you know, and I remember being at Walmart and there was a lady who had fluid in her leg just, and I'm sitting at the computer and God's, you know, trying to prune me, trying to show me, see if we're teachable. And I've got a lot of areas I got to work in, but this is where God was showing me about healing and the power of God. And so I was sitting at the computer and there's a lady over there and she's talking about how she's going to go to the doctor. Her leg is filling up fluid and I'm just like sitting there minding my own business, but I'm hearing what she's saying. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and just said, I want to heal her. And I went, ooh, well maybe. And I was, you know, I didn't understand God's voice at the time. And I was like, is that the devil? I don't understand. No, it's not the devil. The devil don't want to heal nobody. You know, if the devil will, he would just say, I want to kill her. Okay, but so I was like, okay, that's you. I know it's you. So anyway, I waited for everybody to clear, and then I went around and told her. I said, ma'am, I said, I overheard you say that you were going to go to the doctor. And I was sitting at my computer there, and the Holy Spirit, God spoke to me and said he wants to heal you. I said, do you believe that? She said, yeah, I do. And this is where God was showing me too. Kind of like was it the centurion that said, just speak the word only? I was about to lay hands. I said, okay, well, I'm going to lay my hands on you and I'm going to believe you're healed. And so I was about to lay my hands and it's like the Holy Spirit just said, nope. I was like, well, you told me that you want to heal her. What's up? And so he said, speak it. Just speak healing. And I was like, okay. So I said, in Jesus' name, I command your leg to be made whole. And then I just left. Didn't feel anything. Didn't get the goof pimples or anything. Just obedient to what God just wants somebody to be used, right? Just to be willing to be used. And I just did it. I just did it. I didn't feel nothing, sense nothing. I just thought, well, now we'll see. See what happens. Now, I mean, I knew she was going to be healed because God, I mean, I really had, it was God speaking to me. I knew she was going to be healed. She said she believed. I thought, it's got to happen. And so I walked off. 5 minutes, long story short, 5 minutes after I left, she's in the break room. She said 5 minutes after you left. She said, there was just this tingling sensation in my leg, just warm. And I thought, that's the Holy Ghost. That's God. That's the power of God all over you. And so she was telling me, and she said, it just went down. And I was like, praise God. That's awesome. So I started getting a little bit more confidence. The same day I had, probably 2 hours later, I had this another opportunity. It's like Jesus. Remember when Jesus always was healing miracles and stuff? The Bible says that you know, it spread. Well, that's kind of like what happened. She was in the break room. There was another guy that I worked with in my department that I was the manager over, had diabetes. And he had heard her say that she had been healed. And she was giving her testimony. She was in there in the break room saying that. And he comes up to me and he goes, hey, he's kind of shy and, you know, whatever. He didn't know how to respond and say that. He was like, I heard what you did with that lady over there. And he said, can you do that for me? I was like, well, sure. Why not? And so I said, what's going on with you? And I knew he had diabetes. I wanted him to tell me. And so he goes, oh, I got diabetes. I want these diabetes. I said, okay, well, Jesus can heal you. And so I just laid my hands on his leg because Jesus didn't tell me not to. So I laid hands on his leg and just said, I just command these diabetes to leave his body in the name of Jesus. And just left it at that. Next day, and I said, well, how and I said, because I didn't know anything that much about diabetes. So I said, well, how do you know, I mean, that you're healed? How would you know that you're healed? I mean, you have to take pills and insulin or what? I mean, I don't understand. So he told me what he had to do and everything. And I said, well, oh, I'm sorry. Back up. That lady, the fluid thing, I told her, I said, listen to me. I said, I'm going to pray. I'm going to lay hands on you. I said, but here's what I want you to do. I said, if you believe God, and I don't suggest you do this, but I just felt like I needed to. I said, if you believe you're healed, I don't want you to go to the doctor. Because I didn't know if it was going to be a quick manifestation or is it going to be, you know, a week or a couple days or what. I just knew that he was going to do it. So I just said, if you are convinced that you're going to be healed, then don't go to the doctor. I said, can you receive that? She said, yes, I can. I said, okay. And that's when I did that. But that was just interesting there how that happened. But then, you know, the diabetes thing, he comes to me the next day and he goes, I said, so how you feeling? What's up? He goes, well, I didn't take any pills or insulin or didn't do any of that stuff today. He said, I'm healed. I said, all right, praise God. And so I started getting a little bit more bold. I thought, well, God, look at the stuff you're doing. I mean, there was other stuff that happened in that time, you know, that process. And then I was like, well, I want to try to tackle some cancer. Because I just, you know, cancer, man, cancer doesn't seem to be a cure for that kind of stuff. So I was like, all right, well, you know Marty in the church? Marty and, is it Jan, right? Jane. Marty and Jane, I was at Walmart, and just Christian, just my Bible at break room, just reading, mind my own business, read the Word of God. Everybody knew that, saw me. I didn't even know them. Didn't know, have a clue who they were. I mean, you know, saw them time to time, but didn't have a relationship with them or anything. And she comes, I'm fixing to go home. I've been working a lot of hours. She comes to me, and I guess she knew Melissa a little bit, had a relationship with her, but she come to me, and she said, can you pray for my husband? I said, well, what's going on? She said, well, he's got cancer spots on his head, and he's going to go to the doctor tomorrow, and we just want to pray and believe God. I said, okay. You know, there's other things that happened. I was really tired, didn't want to, all that kind of stuff, flesh involved. But I said, yeah, that's fine. So they were at the shoe department, and he was sitting down. I walked around the corner, and she took me to him. And I said, you know, well, Marty, what's going on, you know, because I knew his name. And she's going to the doctor and all this, and there's about five, I don't know how many cancer spots on his head, and we're just going to believe God. I said, okay. I said, do you believe God's going to heal you if when I lay my hands on you? He said, yeah, I do. I said, so in Jesus' name, I just command this cancer to be gone. And I want you to take note how, because when I've studied the Bible, I don't know about you, but I've studied the Bible, and nowhere can I find Jesus prayed for people when it concerned healing. He never did. He never said, Father, I pray for this person that you heal them. Now, he did one time. That was Lazarus, right? Amen. But that was because he was trying to prove a point. He said, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. But for these people that don't believe, I said this. But always, he always had the authority and took control and said well, he didn't say in Jesus' name. He is Jesus. But he just commanded. He commanded. He commanded. That's what we've been given, is that authority. That's where the Word comes from. You've got to be knowledgeable and grow in this Word so you know what God expects you and enables you to do. And so, I was praying for Marty. You know, the next day, he comes to me, long story short, no traces of cancer on his head at all. I'm thinking, oh, no cancer. Praise God. So I'm getting a little bit more confidence, and I'm thinking, okay, well, let's go. You know, cancer is kind of a non-curable thing. But then I remember I was in the Four Square Church, and it was one of the youth that come up. He come in depressed and lonely. Just didn't know him. First time ever seen him come through the doors. And just gloomy, sad, had no joy whatsoever. Come through the door at the end of the service, gave an altar call, said anybody need healing in their body. He comes up, said, what's going on? He said, man, I'm just... when I go use the restroom, it's just like shooting razor blades. And he said, the doctors don't have no clue what that is. And they're at loss right now for what's going on. I said, well, God knows what's wrong with you, and he can heal you. I said, do you believe that? He said, yes. I laid hands on him. Just didn't feel no goosebumps or any of that. This is all faith stuff, right? I don't think I've ever prayed for anybody and I felt, ha, shunda. I never had that. Maybe other people have. Oh, I feel it. Oh, I know you're going to. I just never had that. And so I prayed for him, laid hands on him, and just commanded his body to be whole. And he left next day, next week, next Wednesday, comes to the door. I mean, just grinning like a possum, just grinning. And he comes straight for me, right? Because I was at the pulpit or at the thing, and I don't know what I was doing, but I was there. He comes straight up there, and he said, and this is what he said to me. I kid you not. He said, "It worked." I said, "Of course it works. It's supposed to work. That's what it does." And so that's the way God is. And anyway, praise God. Let's go in a little bit deeper in this thing. You know, Ephesians 5:17 says this. It says, "Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." If you ever say, "I don't know what God's will is," especially in healing and finances and stuff, you're really just telling on yourself. Really. You're just saying, "I haven't been in the Word. I don't know what the Word says on that." So God expects us to know what His will is. He expects us to find out what God says. Oh, I tell you what. Go to Jeremiah, real quick. Jeremiah chapter, I believe it's 9, verse 23. I got to watch the time. Jeremiah 9, 23. I love this verse right here. This is a really awesome verse. Yeah. It says, "Thus says the Lord." God's talking. He says, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let not the mighty glory in his might." Got that backwards. But he says, this is what he says, "But let him who glories glory in this." And here it is, what you need to glory in. Okay? "That he understands and knows me." Wow, that's all. That's it. "That he understands and knows me." Wow. I'm reminded, listen to me, there's a story, true story. This is a very true story, a sad story. I like to tell this because it reveals God's heart concerning your deliverance and your healing. There was a pastor of this church. He Bible-believing church, like this church, believed in healing, believed in the gifts and all that stuff. And he had one of his family members, I guess it was, one of his members that had cancer. She's in the hospital. He's in his prayer time. Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, "I want you to go ask Sister So-and-so a question." So he goes to her room, greets her. "How you doing, Sister So-and-so?" "Oh, I'm good." He said, "Well, God told me to come over here to ask you a question. And here's the question." Here's what he said. I love this because it reveals God's heart. He says, "Do you want to live or do you want to die?" You mean you got a choice? Sure you do. Sure you have a choice. But it's interesting that this is what this lady said in reply to God, basically. Because God asked the question, "Do you want to live or do you want to die?" And this lady said, "Oh, Pastor," she said, "I know the church has been praying for me and yeah, I really appreciate that." But listen to what she said. No knowledge, no really understanding that there's deliverance, not understanding that the prison, like Pastor says, the prison door's open. What are you doing in the cell? Get out. Come out. And she says, "The moment that I was diagnosed with cancer, I knew I was going to die." Wow. That's crazy. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes. I love it. It says, "Don't die." It says don't be overly wicked, but wicked not talking about as in sin, or it is, but it's not talking also about, it's talking about God. What God calls wicked, I think we don't always relate that to that. God calls wicked the opposite of His Word. Anything that's not of His Word, line up as His Word, it's wicked. So do not be overly wicked. Do not be rebellious to the Word. And it says, do not die before your time. I like that. Don't. If someone's 18 years old and they die, that's not their time to die. That's not their time to die. But don't be overly wicked and don't die before your time. So I can prolong my life. The Word of God says this, that His Word is life and health to all my flesh. Life and health to all my flesh. So I can prolong my life by the Word of God dwelling in me. Richly, in all wisdom, spiritual understanding, getting the Word of God and speaking it and declaring it, and it will be as God says it will be. That's how I can prolong my life. That's how I can grow in the wisdom and the knowledge of God, is taking this Word and taking it serious and being passionate about it. I mean, honestly, let's just do an inventory of yourself. How much time do you spend in this Word? Really? I mean, let's just be honest. So most of us could hear would have to say, not enough. Myself included. I'm not pleased with how much time I spend in the Word. And I spend a lot. I know Pastor spends a lot. A lot. I envy that. I want to do it more. I wish I could just, you know, spend a lot of that time doing that. But I have to be honest with myself. I wish I could do it more. I just crave it so much that I wish I could get in it more because it's brought life to me. It's brought life to my family. It's, you know, when Mackenzie and just the things that has happened, the wisdom of God, just having the Word in me and the Holy Spirit speaking, being sensitive because you have the Word in you. Because the Holy Spirit really reveals what God says to you. You know, the Bible says, what is the Holy Spirit? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, He says, I will not speak on my own authority, but I will speak what the Father says. He just speaks the Word to you. But if you don't know the Word, you can't be sensitive to know that that is the will of God. That is what God wants. I know this is the will of God. It'll help your decisions in life. I love how the Bible says that the wisdom, that if you'll get it in you, when you roam, it will lead you. And when you sleep, it will keep you. And when you awake, it will speak to you. The Word of God will do that for you. The wisdom of God will do that to you. We need a hunger after wisdom. Be people that are craving and desiring the wisdom of God. Oh, man, there's just... Okay. James 4:8. We're wrapping... Well, we got 15 minutes. 15 minutes. James 4:8. Check this out. Y'all know this. This is nothing new, guys, right here. This is James 4:8. I want you to see this pattern. You got to do it this way. You can't do it any other way. James 4:8 says... actually, verse 7. This is, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Did you hear the pattern? You gotta submit to God first. You gotta submit to His Word. You cannot have power over the devil and the enemy until you submit to the Word. You gotta be totally submitted to the Word of God. The Bible says, right before that, He says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. You can't be proud, and the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but that way leads to death. You got to be teachable. You got to be submitted to God and say, God, you're smarter than I am, and I just believe you. And you got it all figured out. I don't have it all figured out, but you do, and you can tell me what to do, and I just submit myself to your Word. And when you submit to the Word of God, then you have the right, and God will give you that authority to resist the devil. I remember when we got Mackenzie in her room, there was something going on there. I don't know, some goblins and goobers and I don't know, some crazy stuff. But she would wake up, man, just screaming, top of her lungs. Or she would be in her room and just screaming that there was something right there in the corner of her room. And I was just like, at first I was just like, I don't know, baby. She probably had a bad dream, pizza or something. I don't know. But, and then the next time it happened again, a couple days later, saw something in that corner and just... scared her. And then that second time, I started kind of getting thinking, like, what's going on? I'm kind of getting tired of this. Third time, happened again. I just got fed up. You know, the Bible says the violent take it by force, right? I just like, you know what? This is crazy. I don't know what's going on. I don't have to understand it, but I know it's not God. If it's scaring my daughter, it's not God. I don't have to know what it is. And I just said, come on, let's deal with it. And I did. I was really furious with it because I knew it was a devil. I went in there and I said, come on, let's pray. And we did. My whole family went in there, us three. And I said, let's take authority over this because this is not God. And I said, in Jesus' name, I just command you, you spirit, you foul spirit. I don't know what you are, but you have no right to be in my house. I rebuke you. I denounce you. Get out of my house. Never again seen that thing. Never, she never screamed or hollered or scared to be in there or whatever. That's knowledge of the Word of God, that I have the power and authority to do that. When you get in the Word of God, you just realize, man, I can do, that's what the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You can do what God says. You really can. I don't have every area of my life working for me in the Bible. I don't. I mean, I've got a lot of growing to do. But when it comes to healing and when it comes to, you know, to authority a little, I understand that because I've experienced it a little bit. And I remember too, man, just talking about these, you know, the demons and or whatever, just spirits and stuff, just devil stuff, I don't know. But I was at Walmart and there was this lady that I knew real well and talked to her, and sweet, sweet lady. And she was talking to me about, and she said, will you pray with, Because, you know, there we go again, reading the Bible, minding my own business. So people just come up to you asking you questions and pray with them. And so she said, can you pray for my niece? She's got some really issues going on in her house. And I said, well, what's going on? So she began to tell me, and it's just, matter of fact, they came to our church. What's her name? They stopped coming because they were from Maybank. They stopped coming because the drive, I think. There was a pretty good drive. But she actually, after this whole event, she asked me, she said, where do you go to church at? I said, Will's Point. She came. And they loved it and came. And so the lady was telling me, she said, will you pray with my niece? I said, yeah. She told me what's going on. She said, my niece is just depressed. Just depression is just, it's eating her up alive. I'm just eating her up. And she said, oh, but not only that. She said, my grandson wrote this detailed note how he's going to commit suicide. He's only like 5 or 6 years old. Was he 9 at the time? Detailed. I'm talking about, this is how I'm going to do it. Where does that come from? It's the devil. And so it got me so much that it was one of those things. She said, will you pray with me? I said, and I felt in my spirit, I said, nope, I'm not praying. I did. I told her, no. I said, I'm going to go to their house. I feel like I need to go to their house. I said, what are you doing after work? It just worked out. It was a God thing. I get off at 5. What time do you get off? She said, 5. I said, perfect. I said, do you mind calling them and telling them I'm coming over? She said, yeah, I'll call. And so we went. We get to Maybank, start talking to her a little bit. She walked in the room. You could tell she was depressed. Saw the boy, you know, and just talking to him a little bit. And I just said, okay, well, you ready to get rid of this? And she started telling me, though. Here's what she told me. She said, the people that owned the house previously were into witchcraft and stuff. And I was like, well, okay. Well, praise God. You know, it sounds like you got some things going on here. We're just going to chase that devil away. Let's just get that devil away, out of your house. I said, you don't want him in your house, right? You want to get free from depression, right? She said, yeah. So I said, and I don't know what I did exactly. We just took authority. I didn't pray. I didn't say, Father, you know, bless this house and spray holy water. And I just never seen Jesus do that. That's why I've never done that. I just saw that what he did, he just commanded and they left. And so I just said, in Jesus' name, something to the effect, you know, I made them repeat after me. I denounce these demons and devils or whatever, this witchcraft. I just, these spirits that are in my house. This is a God house, and we denounce the devil, and we serve the living God. Something to that effect. And I said, you know, go, devil. And, man, within, I don't know, was it a week, less than a week, I get a call, whatever, and it's like, man, they've totally changed. And the kid doesn't even have any, you know, hadn't wrote any notes or anything like that. And they came to church. She called. I get a call. I was like, where do you go to church at? I said, what's the point? She shows up that next week. And she's, you know, she came for a long time. Actually, they did a nursery too. Or she helped out there. She was in church or something for a little bit. I can't think of their names. But anyway, that's the power we have. That is because of the Word. It's only because of the Word. I'm nothing, but it's because of the Word. God desires to use you and me in that way, if we seek to be used that way. And so I started proving God's word concerning those things. And I said, you know what? I just want to see if you're right on this, Lord. You said I can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Then I'm just going to test you and we're going to see. It's kind of like the scripture thing, you know, the tithing. Test me and see if I will not pour out a blessing on you. I really think God's saying that to about everything. Test me and see if I will not use you concerning healing and miracles. Test me and see if I will not bless your family or save your family if you'll just diligently pray and intercede for your family. Test me, test me, test me, test me. That's the one time I think God's willing for you to test him, is just prove my word, see what I will not do. If you'll just be diligent to stay in it and hunger and thirst after it, to see it come to pass, don't quit, stay with it, get it in you, and you'll see the results. You'll see the things happen. One other little story, real quick. I'm just telling you stories because I think this is encouraging, because it's encouraging to me. I want to start doing more things like that too. I was at Walmart, and there was, right before I quit Walmart, there was a lady that had a seizure right there in the egg department, just started flopping around like a fish out of water. And everybody, you know, she was with her, I think it was a lady and a guy. And so they ran to her, you know, and holding her, and she's flopping, her eyes are rolled back in her head. And I'm just thinking, like, I was like, well, I got to call the manager. That's what I'm supposed to do. So I call the manager. I wanted to go over there and say, devil, come out. And so I just you know, I didn't want to interfere with what they're going on. He had people rushing and coming to us. So I stood back by her feet, and she's laying down. She's flopping. I mean, just her legs twitching. And I thought, well, I mean, what am I going to do? Get back! I saved the day! No, it just wasn't the right thing to do. It just wasn't right timing and everything. So I really was thinking that. I was like, that'd be kind of weird. So I had her foot. And I did this. Listen, you don't have to scream at the devil. I said, devil, let her go. That's all I said. And as soon as I said that, I kid you not, I mean, I'm not exaggerating, not even a minute. Just as soon as I said, devil, let her go. I said it under my breath. I mean, I said it like where I could hear it, but it wasn't where they could hear it. And as soon as I said it, her eyes just rolled back and she stopped twitching. I mean, I was just like amazed how quick. It's kind of like, I knew he was going to do it, but it was just like, wow, that was quick. And so she just stopped twitching and everything, and she had stopped. And she'd only been flopping for like 30 seconds, maybe less than that. And because I just squatted down and just said, in Jesus' name, let her go. And so she came back and she came too. I remember, just to show you this is cool stuff, man. I was at Dollar General, and when I took the position, I walked in, and the first thing one of the ladies said, she said, here's what she said. She said, hey, I have seizures, and just if I have them, she started going to this little list of what I need to do. She's having it. And I was just like, I ain't having that. So she started, so you got to hold me down and this and that, and you got to call the ambulance or whatever. And I was like, Becky, look at me. I did. I told her just like this. I said, Becky, you ain't having a seizure in my store. In Jesus' name, you're not. And she didn't believe me. She said, okay, well, just telling you. I said, all right. Well, I said, but you're not having a seizure in my store. I don't have time for that. The devil's not, I don't have time to sit there and hold you down. And I ain't doing that. You are healed. As long as you're in my store, you ain't not going to have a seizure. And I was there year and a half, not one seizure. She transfers to another store. She's still in my, I mean, I'm still the manager of that store. She goes to that store. Within a week, she has a seizure. Actually, she had two seizures in a small period of time. I called her. I said, you can be set free from this if you want to be. I said, but I just told you, you're not having a seizure in my store, and you didn't have one, did you? Because I wasn't going to allow that. Anyway, that was just exercising your authority, exercising what God has given to us. As Christians and believers, we can take authority, and that's just exercising those things, And the more you exercise it, the more you begin to do it, and God starts coming through for you, the more that you get bold. That's why the righteous are bold as a lion, because you begin to prove the Word of God. Line upon line, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. You start getting bold, start getting a little bit cocky about what God can do for you, and you just take authority and start doing it. And it's awesome, and it's cool. So, there's more. I just have to stop, because it's almost 8:30. But I just want to encourage you to delight yourself in the Word of God. Get the Word of God. Let it dwell in you richly. What do you want to grow in? You want to grow in finances? Then start studying finances and begin to confess finances. You want to grow in, you want to walk in the authority that God has given us? Then start studying on authority and exousia and all those different words and, you know, dunamis power, and just begin to just build yourself. Look at the stories of Jesus and what he did, how he you know, the woman with the issue of blood and all those things, and, you know, Peter's shadow. And I mean, I really believe we can do all those things. I really do. I think that we draw back and we don't press in enough, like the woman with the issue of blood did. She didn't. We just got to press into God and not quit and keep going with it. Keep sowing the Word in us. Keep believing what God said we can have. And eventually we're going to start seeing breakthrough in our lives. We're going to start seeing us proving the Word of God. Amen. I believe we can do it. I believe the churches hadn't really tapped in, as all of us as a whole, to what really God says we can do. You know, God gave us authority. Did you know that? In the very beginning, in Genesis, He gave us authority. You know what's it? Real quick, I'm ending with this. I want to show you. I like to see big pictures. You remember in Genesis, God created man. God gave authority to man. Did He not? He said, "You have dominion over the fish of the sea, you know, every creeping thing that creeps upon the face of the earth." He gave them authority. Okay, watch this. Watch this. See God's heart concerning authority. Okay, God made man. He gave man authority. Man gave it away to Satan. Satan has the authority. Jesus comes, takes the authority back. You would think he would keep it and put it in his pocket. But Jesus is not very smart. He hands it back to mankind and says, here, now you have authority. Go you therefore into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Lo, I'm with you. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. You'll cast out devils, speak with new tongues. God's not very smart, giving it back to us. But that was his whole plan from the very beginning, to us have authority, to walk in this authority. He must believe in me for him to give it to me back. He lost it once. He gets it back. Now he's going to give it right back to me. You go, therefore, lay hands on the sick. You. I think that's interesting. It's really, God must really love us and really want us. Like Pastor says, it's a privilege that God involves us in the things of his kingdom. He must really love us and believe in us and knows that he's given us. The Bible says he's given us all things that leads to godliness. He's given us all things. And the Bible says, I mean, these scriptures, I can't get around them. I think a lot of people try to like, oh, I didn't see that. But the scripture's like, as he is, so are we in this world. How do you get around that? You mean I'm like Jesus? You're supposed to be. Well, I'm supposed to lay hands on the sick and see miracles, raise the dead? If I've read it right, we're supposed to. Jesus got mad at some of his disciples because they didn't rebuke a storm. Wow. What was he? That story gets me. He rebuked them and said, oh, you have little faith. Why'd he do that if he didn't expect them to use the authority? That they must have had some authority for them to get onto him. Because God's not going to get onto you if you didn't have the ability to do it. I mean, just scriptures like, I mean, they come to me all the time just like, I have to think about them. I'm like, are you serious, Lord? You really want us to do that? Wow. I mean, I just can't get around it. And I think we just skip them. Oop. Let's just look on love. But authority, cast out the devils, raise the dead. Whew, I want to raise the dead, please. I'd love to do that. That'd be cool. Raise somebody from the dead. Wow. We can do it. It says we can. And here, I've read my Bible several times and it says we could. So we just got to grow in this thing, though. Line upon line, precept. And so you think, well, man, I just don't know that much. Well, start somewhere. Start now. Get in the Word. Find out what it says. Grow in this thing. And I'm telling you, you can do things that you'd be surprised. I never thought, seriously, I was always I'm closing. I was always a very intimidated kid. I lived a sheltered life. I didn't get to do anything. I didn't probably go out of Texas until I was probably come up East Texas. I didn't get to do anything. I was very, my self-esteem was, seriously, I was always a crowd pleaser. Not crowd pleaser. I wanted to please people. People pleaser. I wanted to please people just so they would accept me because I didn't, my self-esteem was just down there. I never thought in a million years that I would, some of the stuff that God's done in my life, that I would do that. I just never imagined it. I just thought, no, not me. I don't even think I'll be successful in life. That's the way I thought. I'm poor. We lived in a storefront. I lived around lawnmowers. I slept with mom and dad till I was, I don't know how old. I mean, it's just very impoverished, very, I can't do anything, I'll never be amount to anything kind of life. I'm going to be like my dad, a drunk, you know, who beats my mom, you know, and then my dad was murdered. I mean, come on. I mean, it's just, this life stinks. It's not going to be good for me. But then God said, no, I got a plan. I got a plan for you. You can do it. You can do what I can tell you you can do. And I just started believing it. And of course, you know, here lately, like I said, I mean, you think, well, I want to get back to what I used to do. And I hate saying that, what I used to do. I mean, I've laid hands on people since then, but I'm just saying, I used to see this stuff happen on a daily and weekly basis. I really did. I saw people saved on a daily basis because I hungered after it. I would ask God. I'll close with this statement, I promise. I would sit there. I was in the dairy department one day, and I was just, I'm talking about hunger and passion for the Word. I said, God, I mean, because I'd led people to the Lord, you know, and I just was, it's kind of like I was addicted to winning souls. and I was in the dairy department, and I was there at 4 o'clock in the morning, and there ain't many people in Walmart at 4 o'clock in the morning. And so I'm inside, I'm there, and I'm saying, Lord, I just worship you. And I, you know, I'm just praising God, doing my work. And I said, God, I want to win a soul today. I want to win a soul today. And when I said that, I promise, this is the truth. Within probably 20 to 30 minutes, there comes a guy that's with the floor crew, comes around the corner of the dairy department. And I'm like, is that him, Lord? And he comes and we get to talking. And I get to witnessing to him. And make a long story short, he gave his life right there to Jesus Christ. And I'm like, wow. Ask, you have not because you ask not or you ask amiss. If I'm telling you, God will give you the... What is that song we sing? God will give you the nations. If you just ask Him. Ask and I will give you the nations. Ask and I will lead people to you. Ask and I will cause you to raise the dead. I will cause you to do great mighty things. Just ask me for those things. Let me know you desire those things. And I dare you to ask God those things. I dare you and mean it. You'll see it. He'll do it. And I got away from that for a while. And I want to get back to that. I want to get myself in position where I can do those things. I know God wants me to do it. I know that it's there. I got distracted. I got, you know, we all do. And I want to get back to those things. I want to get back to doing what I know God's called me to do. Lay hands on the sick and continue to get teaching and grow. Come on, bow your heads. Father, I just thank you for your word today, Lord. God, your word is so rich, so awesome, so powerful. You've given us so much, Lord. And I just thank you. I pray for these people. I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. God, I thank you, Lord, that the Word of God will be first place in their lives. That, Father, that the Word of God will just, they would become the Word. Not just know the Word, but become it. Let it get in them and rooted in them and just grow and produce a harvest of what you said we can do. I just give you all the honor. I give you all the praise. I glorify your holy name. You're so good to us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, amen.